salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's one of those days here at wherever the heck I am here at CoachDaveLive.com. One of those days. Been bubbling for quite a while. Of course, I got Joseph is staying here with me, and Mark's here with me working on Sky High, and so up chewing the fat with them a little bit. I had a chance. Mike Heath invited me on his show today, so I got started early at 6 o'clock. Got my spirit. What do they call that? Chugging. I got up going good already this morning. I'm raring to go. I'm going to try to be on my good behavior. It's Flea Flicker Friday. I'm going to try to pull back, and it's hard. I got to tell you, it's hard. I'm going to try to get into it today. And to watch, you say, well, just sit there. Maybe you can get in there with us too. Before I really pop the clutch here, I want to try to follow along my schedule here the best that I can. And try to not lose any of you along the way. Hey, Jared, let's go to the schedule. Connor, let's go to the schedule. Let's get that done right away. Michelle and I are heading to, where are we going? We're going to John Diamond's conference today in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's a one-day event. It's going on all day Saturday. It's just an absolutely, here's what I like about it. I'm trying to find it here on my screen, folks. Bear with me a second. There it is. These guys are all doers. The guys that are speaking at this conference in Edinburgh, PA, actually Erie, Pennsylvania. Hey, John Brockhoff, I know John's going to be up there. I'm trying to find where you're presenting here, Jared. I don't see where you. Is it on my screen, Jared? I'm sorry, Connor. I don't see it. Maybe we're going to pause. I see you. Anyway, I'm going to be in Erie, Pennsylvania. What a crew. Dan Fisher, Matt Truella, Rusty Thompson, Bill Federer, William J. Federer. Criminy. All day tomorrow. A one day. Mike Spalding. Sorry, Mike, I didn't think about you right away there. There's the schedule. Diamond, Federer, Truella, Dran Reese, Dan Fisher, Rusty Thomas, Bradley Dean, Coach Dave, all in one building. One day. 9 in the morning, 5 in the evening. We're done. You're out of there. You have a campground. I mean, come on, man. If you're within a couple hours, you got to make it. I think Doug Hagman's showing up too. I can't confirm that. Doug lives about 10 minutes from the place. I spoke to him the other day. That's going on this weekend. And what's really good about the – go back to that list, Connor. Go back to the list. I want to show you something. John Diamond. Hang on. Doer of the word, not a hearer only. William J. Federer, doer of the word, not a hearer only. Matt Truella, doctrine of the lesser magistrate, a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Dran Reese, speaking on the importance of biblical citizenship, she is a doer. You are the salt and the light. That is a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Dan Fisher ran for Republican governor of Oklahoma. He's a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Rusty Thomas, speak of Operation Save America. You all know, doer of the word, not a hearer only. I don't know what happened to my screen. Doer, there we are. Bradley Dean, doer of the word, not a hearer only. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, doer of the word, not a hearer only. This is not going to be, we're not studying the stars and the moon and the rapture. We're not studying any of that stuff. We're saying there's a fight going on right now. You need to get involved, and here's how you're going to do it. That's what this conference is this week. I'm excited to go be part of it. I'm honored to go be part of it. Thank God for John Diamond, Dr. John Diamond, to put this whole thing together, and we would love to see you there. If you don't make it, go to Chad's. Say what? Yeah, Chad's having an event at his house. Go back to the schedule there, Connor. All you Texas Salt and Light Brigaders, go to Chad's, Salt and Light in Moody, Texas. That's going on down there. See, we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. I see that day approaching. Chad's doing everything he can opening up his house, inviting people to come to his house and be part of something, help to assemble something. And I'm going to tell you, some of you got to get out of your comfort zone. Some of, if you really want to be prepared and you really want to be ready to stand up and fight, then you're going to have to go somewhere and get connected. Yes, you might have to drive a couple hours. Yes, you might. Yes, you might have to spend the night. No, yes, you might have to. You might have to. Yep, sorry. May have to. Chad's doing it at his house, September 27th, 28th, 29th. That's this weekend. Chad, anything you want to say about that?
Oh, love you. Yeah, everybody just, well, we're excited. It's our big event for the year. And I don't know, we're chomping at the bit. So I'm just ready to go. And then if you plan on coming, bring a chair, please. Thank you.
Hey, Chad, how have you keeping this thing going, man? Other people are trying to start these brigades. They have one meeting and then they never have another. How are you keeping this thing going, Chad? You're drawn from Oklahoma and Louisiana and El Paso. How are you doing that, Chad?
I don't know. I think we just have God's blessing here on this. And then, you know, just the phone calls and, you know, and everybody in the group, they're just following up with other folks. So it's not just me. It's, you know, this person calling that person, inviting. And so, you know, it's a, what do you say? It's an organism, not an organization.
And he has a really friendly goat that greets you when you get out of your car.
He does, that's for sure. But hey, folks, it's relationships, see? It's relationships. And so Chad starts this thing and he builds some relationships. And then the next time, not everybody comes back because they can't, but some of them bring a different person. And Chad's really building some relationships down there. And I'm just going to tell you as honestly as I can, you need to do that right where you are. We all need to do that. We all need to do that. When the crap hits the fan, you're going to find yourself alone. And you're going to say, well, how'd that happen? Well, that's how that happened. Then we got Mayberry coming up next week. Go back on that one for me, Connor. Mayberry RFD, as I said on Mike Heath's show today, it's Hickory, North Carolina. I mean, that makes you want to spit tobacco, doesn't it, just hearing that? That's going to be October 10th, starting next Thursday. Is that two Thursdays? God, I'm lost. That's two Thursdays. In North Carolina, come and be part of this. Come on, man. Come on. We're going to go out and see Billy Graham's people and hand out Equal Justice Tour cards. It's going to be a great time. Come join us, men, women, boys, and girls. Scroll on down there. Oh, I'm going to throw this one out there because I just found this out yesterday. Chad, this is for all you guys that you would know. I just got notification yesterday. We will be back invited to the Hear the Watchman event, March, first weekend of March in Dallas, Texas again. Just got the invite yesterday. Let me look at my calendar here. Make sure I'm telling y'all the same thing. That will be done. That's like way next March. Put it on your calendar because it's a great place for us to be able to get together. March 5, 6, and 7. March 6, 7, and 8. Whatever, that weekend. First weekend in March. You're the Watchman in Dallas. I just got the invite yesterday. Don't forget Bobby Lee's Pennsylvania Assault and Light Brigade. He's going to get one going there for us. Bobby's a doer of the word, not a hearer only. All the information is there. If you're out in that area, come and join us. That's what date's that, Connor? October 18th. Man, that's coming up quick, too. Jeezy peasy. You have to get me a new car, new tires or something. I hate flying, so. But anyway, let's see. Going down one more. Oh, the Rimfire Conference in Montana. Now, I'm going to have Leighton Houghton and Rob Pugh going to come on and talk about this. This is a doozy. You never been to Montana? Leighton's going to be there. Mike Spaulding, Rob Pugh, Coach Dave, Bradley Dean. It's awesome, man. 99, yeah, we got to charge. Can I tell you why we have to charge money? Because churches won't let us use their buildings for free. No, we have to go to the hotels and got to go rent secular buildings to hold Christian conferences in. Right? Yeah, because some of these guys might speak in tongues. I don't know, but they might. Oh, boy, I have a cynical side, don't I? And then we got a boot coming up November 9th with, help me out here. November 9th, we're just beginning to do, you know, our organization on that. And we're having our good old buddy, Jamie Waldron's going to come and speak. We're going to put it on. So, cool. A lot of stuff. A lot more stuff going on, but that gets us caught up. Anybody have anything for the good of the group? This is supposed to be a flea flicker Friday, but I'm going to flick a flea here in a second. Anybody got anything they want to bring up before I really get rolling?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Going to Henderson, Nevada, to the Drag Queen Story Hour. Anybody in Nevada like to participate and protest and preach the word of God, you're welcome to do that. It's at October 5th. It's a Saturday.
All right, folks, you want to join Jeff? Maybe old Jed Smock will join you. You know, I never got much feedback on that. You guys enjoy Brother Jed? That's a question. You can come in and tell me. Give me a feedback on it. Because I'd have him on. I love the guy, man. I loved him.
Oh, yeah. I meant to comment earlier, Coach. I apologize. But I loved listening to him to speak. And I think he's the first guest you've had on the show that you couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, there was something. By the way, Rich, I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't know how many of you have saw this or not. Do you know there's a group out there led by Judith Riesman who are going back to where? Why, they're going to the Kinsey Institute in Indiana. They're going in protest. I wonder where that guy, I wonder if we ought to think about doing that. Oh, we did? Oh. Wow. Just that made me think of you, Rich. Anyway. So God bless brother Jed. And he was a little bit technique, a little bit not tech savvy. Couldn't get him on the screen, but we will. Robert Klaus, how about what's going on September 27th here, brother? How about coming in there and leading us? Again, folks, you can buy these at Amazon or wherever you can get it. Wherever books are sold is what the old saying used to be. Finders, keepers, finders of truth, keepers of the faith. And these are not feel good, as Robert would said, not your daily cracker. This is not your daily cracker. It's not your daily bread. This is a devotional, Christian devotional, to get men and women engaged in the battle. Robert, I'm glad we met, by the way. Good to know that.
Oh, me too, Coach. It's been great.
Yep. Great. Brother, there are more of us than we know.
That's right.
Go ahead, Robert. Go ahead and read, okay. Read your reading today, buddy.
Yeah, there's a little short passage really about who Jesus is. He's really the king here.
Yes.
This is a quote from R.C. Sproul. The great misconception in our day is this, that God isn't concerned to protect his own integrity. Mm. He's kind of a wishy-washy deity who just waves a wand of forgiveness over everybody. No, for God to forgive you is a very costly matter.
Cost him his life, didn't it, brother? Cost him his life.
That's right.
We think he winks and nods at sin.
Yep. That's true. So here's the devotional. If only we would receive God as he is. If only we would acknowledge Jesus, who is the very image of God, and not make him in our own image.
Yes, sir.
Then we would desire him all the more rather than desert him all the quicker.
Wow.
Yeah. We would walk with him in victory and see Satan crushed under our feet. If we would follow Jesus, who is the light and truth, we would not wallow in defeat, being robbed blind by the devil. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Without him, we are left to our foolishness.
Amen, we are.
Abide in him, and we are fruitful. Abandon him, and we are fruitcakes in a nutcase to be devoured by the devil.
You got that one right.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to all who forsake their ways, their lies, and their self-life. The one who has died with Christ and is risen with him should no longer live for self, being downtrodden. Jesus gives the invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only then will one be without worry and not be restless. With Jesus, one is blessed with every spiritual blessing. Without him, one is cursed with every worldly craving.
Wow.
How much better it is to be a slave to the King of Heaven and held in his hands than being a captive to the God of this world and in his clutches.
Amen.
The great tempter may deceptively offer much to solicit his worship, but he who overcame all temptations surely has more to offer those who worship him in spirit and truth. And lastly, it's time for all believers to take up their pallet and walk, to run the race with endurance, and to fight the good fight wisely. The final bell is about to ring, the game is near over, and the score will be given.
Yes, sir. We know that one for sure. There it is. Keepers, finders, keepers. Finders of the truth, keepers of the faith, Robert Klaus. Robert, those things are all, they're all Holy Spirit inspired, man. God bless you. God bless you. I'm about ready to take my boots off or put my boots on. I'm going to jump in the mud here. Anybody want to say anything or talk about anything before I jump in the mud? Listen, I hear this a lot. You don't have to agree with me. You are free to tell me I'm full of it here. You're free to do it. Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want the show to be over, and then you call somebody else in the queue and say, you know, he's full of it. Say it to me. Don't say it to your buddies. Say it to me or don't say it at all. All right? If you have a position that you want to support and you want to defend, go for it, man. Throw that hunk of meat out here and let's chew on that sucker and let's figure out what it is. Don't take your bone and go back into your prayer closet and gnaw away at your bone. All right? Make sure you got all that meat off of that thing before you go bury it wherever you want to bury it. So come on, somebody come on in here because I'm going to make some of you mad today. I told Mark Trump and Joseph Allen, who are upstairs, I said, listen, you have to promise me you'll still be my friend when this is over. They both said, I promise, Coach. I promise. Okay? Cool. Go ahead. Anybody? It's Flea Flicker Friday. I got some clickers. I want to flee here.
This is Joseph. I have something to say to men here and women. If Mark and Coach and his family appreciates a lot of help that we have been given, especially up here at Sky High. We need doers, but the doers also have to be followers. Don't come up here with off-brain ideas, but you got to come up here with a heart and the mentality of being a doer.
Amen.
Richard, can I jump in here, Coach?
Just real quick, hang on a minute, Bobby. Richard Rapp showed up yesterday and cleaned out under one group of trees. Unbelievable. Richard, as Mark Trump said, he is low maintenance. He just shows up, does his job. God bless Richard Rapp. Appreciate you more than you know, Rich. Come on in, Bobby.
Yeah, we're closing out the year soon, and this is my first year being active, and I've kind of been pushed 3 huddles this year, and I want to be more active next year. I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking about 4 things out here in PA, maybe quarterly activities in various parts of the state. I want us to tighten up our core group. Communication needs to be improved. And I keep playing. Well, this huddle coming up, I would like to do something in the middle of the day or in the afternoon, some sort of additional activity to us being on the ground. And it's going to be a good time. We're going to be right over there around that big area of Cabela's Hamburg and some sort of additional activity. I'm trying to come up with that. And my head keeps playing with trying to figure out how to expand this thing to Kentucky since I operate out of both states. And one last thing, you know, it's probably going to be March or April coming up. Well, it is going to be March or April coming up, which is going to be the third year when 12 Christians were arrested at the abortion slaughterhouse. And I don't want that forgotten about either. So I want that in the back of our minds.
It's Father's Day weekend. You're a good man, Bobby. We need some people out there that'll help Bob. He's trying to run. Bobby is from Kentucky and lives in Pennsylvania. He's trying to run two huddles in 2 different states. He needs some help. Maybe OJ and his crew can help down there a little bit down there in Kentucky. Bless you, Bobby. God bless. I don't talk to Bobby enough, you know. We've just empowered Bobby, and Bobby's just running down with it. You need my approval. Don't need to come and bow at my feet. And boy, if I could just get close to Coach. If I could just get Coach's ear. You got a phone? You got a phone? Got my ear. All right. Cool. Anybody else? I'm feeling nasty today. God warned me. Feeling nasty.
Okay. I'm going to say this. If we are the people of love, I mean, all the churches, they want to talk about love. All right, let's talk about love. Does love divide every time it doesn't get its way?
Ooh.
Does love, if we're really in this thing, Coach, if I disagree with you and I just say, well, I'm done, I can't, was I ever in love or was I in it for myself?
Ooh.
So the point is, if we can't live it and walk it, we sure can't preach it. The church today preaching all this stuff, and the first time you come and you challenge them, they're done. Now, is that love? No.
That ain't love. That ain't love. Hey, Randy, while I got you there, talk about the text messages you sent me yesterday, Randy. Can you just give a brief overview of what you shared with me yesterday?
Are you on the Josephus on the history church?
History of the church. Yep.
Coach, okay. We all know we've been dumbed down for years in the church. We've been taught a lot of things that are not true. They're not correct. And the last days, we know they started at the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and preached, and he interpreted the book of Joel, and he said, "This is what Joel prophesied. The outpouring of the Spirit." Okay, that was the beginning of the last days. Now, if people want to do a study, really want to know, go back and read the history. Don't take my word for it. Read the history of Josephus, of what happened for the next 40 years. And you're going to have to start asking questions, and it will change your theology if you really want to know. We've been taught a lie, Coach. The rapture and dispensationalism, you said this a while back, it came in the late 1800s. It was not even in the picture. The way the early church understood it. The church today has changed it. It's a different gospel. It's not
Randy, right. I believe in a rapture. I believe in the catching away of the saints.
Yeah. Well, go read history. See what happened. And you're right. With those three pages I sent you right there, we'll tell you, we'll throw up a question in everybody's mind right there.
All right. So, folks, listen, this is important. If you believe in the rapture, you're welcome here. If you don't believe in it, you're welcome here. If you believe in speaking in tongues, you're welcome here. If you don't believe in it, you're welcome here. If you believe that you have to go to Jesus through Mary, you're welcome here. If you don't believe that, you're welcome here. We're thrown out of here on the table. Of course, there's going to be disagreements. Why? How many denominations are there? And why are there denominations? It's all based on doctrine. They don't agree with things about that the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Then why are there 30,000 different denominations? Because we don't agree on all those things. And you do not have to be my twin in order to be my brother. We have got to give ourselves some slack. And can I tell you what else? I'm sorry. Some of you got to quit being so dogmatic, because I'm going to tell you something. You look around. You pick an issue. Let's pick tongues. Let's just camp on that a minute. The baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. You don't believe it. Your denomination doesn't believe it. Your pastor doesn't teach it. And you've never heard it. And you don't want to be around it. Okay, cool. What about all those charismatic churches? What about them? Are they wrong? Oh, they're of the devil. See, they're not Baptists like we are. They're of the devil. They got it all wrong. We got it right. They got it all wrong. And because they got it all wrong, I'm not going to play with them. That's it, isn't it? Isn't that American Christianity? Isn't that really where we are? I'm going to tell you this. The average person, when you go to, whether it be, it's like I had a guy said, I was born Methodist. I said, dude, you need born again. Born again. People said, I was born Catholic. Whoa, how's that happen? Is that in the DNA? How you get born Catholic? No, you get raised Catholic. You get raised Baptist. You get raised Methodist. You get raised Presbyterian. And I'm going to tell you, one out of 100 that knows the difference in denominations. Not one. You can't even describe your own.
Amen.
Because we've been dumbed down. And what do they do? They say, well, Coach, he's a cultist. You don't follow him, man. Hey, Coach is teaching a lot of things that we just don't agree with. Well, dude, let me tell you something. You're teaching a lot of stuff I don't agree with. And who says you're right and I'm wrong? Bible says that tongues will cease. Yeah, when are they going to cease? Bible, same scripture says, knowledge will vanish away. When? Has knowledge vanished away yet? Why do you say tongues have vanished or ceased? And build a whole denomination on it. And not even be interested in it. Those of you who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, not in the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm not here to support it one way or another. If you've never experienced it, how do you know it's not real? Because your pastor told you it's not? That'd be like, anybody out there ever skydive? I never skydived. I know some people that have. They tell me it's the most exhilarating experience you could ever have, skydiving. I don't believe that. I've done that. They jump out of no plane. My son's jumped out of a couple of them. Every time he comes down, he does it. Wow, that was something. I got to do that again. It's called experience. Now, hang on. You can't just base your life totally on experience. Experience has to line up with the scripture. But I can open up my Bible right now, and if I was hunting and pecking and just looking for whatever, I can almost make the Bible say whatever I wanted to say if I take it out of context. If you want to find that tongues have ceased, you can find it. But if you want to find that tongues are still in operation, you can find it. So what we do is we take our glasses, we put our glasses on, and we read the Bible through our belief system.
Amen.
And that's what I like about this show.
Hey, Coach, how could we go around the world if we made a trip and tell all these Christians around the world that believe that, that do speak in tongues, that believe that, and then look at their life, they're producing fruit. They're in China alone, there's, 500 million Christians. How can we tell them, oh, no, I don't think that's true.
That's of the devil. I know you really love Jesus, but that tongue stuff, that's the devil. That's it, isn't it, Randy? Isn't in essence?
Yes.
Yep. This isn't about tongues, okay? I'm trying to make a point here with me today. Bear with me today. Because I see the same thing going on with the subject I brought up yesterday, Donald Trump. I see the same thing going on. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Donald Trump, President Trump, does not fit our brand of Christianity. I don't mean ours. I mean individually, when we look at him, we say, oh, well, I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that, and I don't agree with that. And so as a result of it, then we say, well, he's the enemy. He's for homosexuals. Donald Trump's for homosexuals. He is, isn't he? Looks like he is. Hey, so are a lot of America's pastors. So are a lot of America's pastors for homosexuality, right? And why do we expect Donald Trump to be leading the fight against homosexuality when our pastors are silent on it? Somebody say amen for it. I'm going to wait a minute.
I want amen. To listen for a minute. Amen, Coach.
Huh? Amen.
We get mad because President Trump won't fight against homosexuality when the majority of pastors, they won't even do it. They say, well, I can't follow him anymore. He's for homos. Well, there's nobody in this queue that is more anti the homosexual movement than me. And I say the guy's getting bad advice. That's what I say. But as I said on Mike Heath's show today, I'm unashamed to say this. I'm on his horse. I'm on Trump's horse. Because if Donald Trump were not president right now, if they impeached him tomorrow, who's his replacement? I've asked this 4 shows in a row, I think. Somebody tell me, who's his replacement? Who's next?
Pence.
Yeah, I agree. One last thing. I want to jump in here again. I'm going to ride this horse. I mean, I don't worship Trump either. But I'm on with most of his agenda. He's got people laying hands on him in the White House. I'm going to ride this horse, right or wrong, because we got – it's not because we got nothing else. It's because he's literally on stage up there proclaiming the name of God and Jesus.
And inviting the church to get involved, Bobby. He's inviting the church to get involved.
He's demonstrating more Christianity and aggressive masculinity than, like you say, all the pastors across this nation. And there's activities. There's literally Trump organization activities coming up here in PA that I've signed up in this area and out and across the state. And I'm going to a few of them, and I'm going to get some video of it and see what it's like. And it's expanding across the nation. So I'm encouraging you guys out there to go on the Trump website, see what activities are there, and step into that arena. You don't have to isolate yourself right in this Salt and Light Brigade. Expand it and bring what we have, and take those cards, those Equal Justice Tour cards, over to that arena.
Amen, Bobby.
Amen. Folks,
let me ask a question here. Is it Donald Trump's job to advance Christian morality? Is that the President of the United States' job, to advance Christian morality? Is he Pope? Is President Trump America's Pope? No. Who has the responsibility of the moral condition of this nation? Folks, who has that responsibility? President Trump? Is he the one responsible for the moral condition of America? Of course not. Why do we want him to do things that pastors won't do? And in your lifetime, folks, in my lifetime, did you guys watch him at the UN? Did you watch him go out and talk about patriotism and individual liberty and religious liberties? You guys, did G.W. Bush do that? Did anybody remember him doing that? Barack Obama, did he do that? Like, who have you in your lifetime seen any president of the United States open the door and say, come on, Christians, come on? Has anybody seen anybody do it more than him?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I tell you right now, Satan would never allow abortion to cease. He'd never allow it. And Trump's pushing for it. That's got to be coming from the throne of God, brother. Period.
Amen. I know you are, Alan. Amen. Amen. And we are opposing it. Listen,
Coach.
Hang on a second. I'm not a worshiper of Trump. I get accused of that all the time. I don't worship Trump. My goodness, he's the guy on the horse opening up the gate so we can run through it. We want to tell him that we can't run behind it because he keeps dropping turds out the back. Watch out, he's dropping another turd. That's what horses do. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Coach, it's even impractical for an intelligent person who understands our government to say it's his responsibility. He's only the executive branch. Don't we have two other branches?
Of the government.
Don't we have two other branches? So it's all three branches' responsibility to keep Jesus going, not just Trump. The legislative body, the judicial body needs to have morals too. So the people who are laying that at Trump's doorstep are just not understanding that they're in the U.S.
That's right.
We have a three-part government. Now, how about a church? The church. Doesn't the church have a single responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and push back on Satan? It's squarely in the church's doorstep.
It is. That's where the Lord put it. See, the lie of the separation between the church and state is not a lie. It's a lie in the way it's being promoted. See, the church is supposed to be deeply embedded within the state, but the church leadership is not supposed to be making political decisions. That's the difference. But if it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, then we, the people, are the ones who are supposed to be determining the morality that's being done in our nation. And they told us that it is a lie, that there's a separation between the church and state, and we accepted that to mean that there's a separation between morality and state, that everybody can do whatever they want to do because there's freedom of religion. Well, it's a total and complete misunderstanding of our form of government. And Donald Trump, president, can anybody... I'll just sit here a minute. I'll give you time to search your mind. Tell me any president more pro-life than Donald Trump. Anyone ever more pro-life?
Nobody.
Coach, I'll go farther than that. I'll say pro-righteousness. I mean, he should be stronger against homosexuality, but you know what? He's still in office. You know what? He can change, and we can make it. We can help him change, you know?
Well, he's waiting on us to do it, isn't it? Isn't he waiting on us to do it? Do we really want him to be king? Do we really want him to be king? And, you know, there's nobody more against homosexuality than me. But when he went to the UN and he talked about homosexual rights, which I'm not for homosexual rights, I'm sorry. Do we understand that there are nations in America that are killing homosexuals? That in Iran, they push them off buildings, they throw them off buildings. Now, is that a Christian position? Or is the president of the United States supposed to be speaking up for human rights, saying we shouldn't be treating people like that? Now, the way that they address it, it sounds like to us, it's an endorsement of the homo agenda. Is it? If it is an endorsement of the homo agenda, then the church, me and you, need to call him out on that. But hey, listen, I ain't getting off the horse because I don't have any other horse to get on right now. And if he is compromised, we're screwed. Come on, man. And I was thinking about this today. I wonder how many out there who complain and gripe and moan about President Trump. I wonder how much of you spend any time at all praying for the guy. And I know this. You can't hate somebody you pray for. You just can't. Sometimes hang on a second. Sometimes Michelle and I will get in one of those tizzies, you know, married couples have. She's on one part of the house. I'm on the other part of the house. And then I just go over and hug her and start praying for her. She can't be mad at me when I'm praying for her. I can't be mad at her when I can't. Are you praying for the president? Are you doing that? Or are you pointing out some of this other stuff I'm going to bring up here in a minute? Come on in. So I cut somebody else off. Come on in.
Coach, the difference is all of our past presidents, you pray for them, but you're praying God to help them stop what they're doing. They're pushing forth evil and unrighteousness. This man is, for the most part, is pushing for righteousness. I mean, it's a different type of prayer.
That's right, Randy. And if we think homosexuality is wrong, then the church needs to turn up the pressure on him.
Well, that's true, Coach. And the Christians need to get out and vote. If ever all Christians would vote, that would help as well.
Yeah. Or Robert, how about this? How about if the Christians realized it was a Republican against a Democrat? And even though you think your vote is so precious that you don't vote third party because you can't vote for Donald Trump, either a Republican or a Democrat's going to be president of the United States. You better pick which horse you're on that one as well. Come on, somebody else is trying to get in.
Hey, that was a mic drop moment there. Somebody just said Christians should get out and vote. Now, we all know that God desires unity above almost any, I think above everything, because his prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father 5 times cried out that his would be unified as the Father and Jesus were unified. That's John chapter 17. Now, if Christians got out and voted right now, it would make no difference, because that calls itself Christian, that calls itself the body of Christ, is so divided in so many different political camps and everything else, the Christian vote would cancel itself out. Mm. The key to that mic drop moment is Christians should get out and vote.
Coach, one of the sickest things going, we've said this before, 478 of our congressmen and women claim Christ. And the majority of the biggest, sorriest mouse in that Christian majority, the 88% of Congress, are against Donald Trump. Think
he
about that.
He doesn't even have a team, Bobby, or Alan. He doesn't even have a team. This dude doesn't even have a team.
Amen. Listen, Coach, I've done videos 4 years ago about Donald Trump walking out Isaiah 45. Before I ever heard of Mark Taylor, before I heard of other guys that were, the Holy Ghost had showed me that Trump was walking it out, just like Nebuchadnezzar, just like King Cyrus. And Coach, he's doing it. God has got his hand on him, but don't matter what comes against this guy, he's standing up. And I get so sick. I was watching that impeachment crap the other day, and all I heard on it, nobody's above the law. If I had, I don't know how many times those bunch of idiots said, nobody's above the law. And I would continue to comment, well, where's the Bidens? Why ain't they in jail? Why ain't the Obamas in jail? The Bushes, the Clintons, why ain't they in jail if nobody's above the law?
That's right. EqualJusticeTour.com. EqualJusticeTour.com. Yep.
Hey, Coach, you know, and I'm agreeing with everything I'm hearing. I got a little bit late. Slept in this morning. But one of the things, the reason if Donald Trump would have ran as a Democrat and won, the Democrats would be behind him. The Republicans are a little bit behind him. But Donald Trump, truly what he's trying to do, just what he was sharing at the United Nations, is for people to take pride and take back their nations. He's trying to give the power of the government back to the people. We're the ones who are supposed to be wielding the power. We talk about the three branches. The most powerful thing in this country is supposed to be the people. That's why the Democrats hate him, because of the power he's trying to give back to the people. The Republicans, they only like him because he ran as a Republican, but they don't like him. Why? Because he's trying to take the power from them and give it back to the people.
Amen. But that's the way I see it. So, hey, so listen, I got some stuff I got to get to here. I know it's a flea flicker Friday, but I got several emails yesterday. Noah Hyde laws? What? Noah Hyde laws? What are Noah Hyde laws? Go ahead and raise your hand and say, Coach, I've never heard that before, ever. Go ahead. You're right, Coach. I've never heard that. Well, what are Noah Hyde laws? Well, I'm going to show you a little video here, what the Noah Hyde laws are. And there's a move. Listen, let's say that Congress was going to consider establishing the Noah Hyde laws in the United States, which is what people are screaming and hollering about. Folks, let me ask you a question. Is that Donald Trump's job to block Noah Hyde laws? Is that his job? Or is it the job of the church? Do we want Donald Trump fighting all of our Christian battles? Or do we want Donald Trump supporting and enforcing Christian values? I don't want Donald Trump to be king. I don't want him making executive orders. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And if the Christians, which are about 76% of the population, sorry, Larry, I know they're not all there, but they all claim to be Christians, what would the laws look like if Christians decided we ought to get reengaged in this thing? We really ought to get reengaged. We can't even stop the killing of unborn babies. Why? Because there's people in the church think it's okay. Well, how'd they hear that? They heard it from the pastor. They didn't hear it from Trump. They didn't hear it from Ivanka. They didn't hear it from Jared Kushner. They heard it from their own church. So people say, oh, you better watch out. Trump's, he's one of the Kabbalists. He's a Talmud thumper. Better watch out. He's a secret. He's going to get, oh, really? You don't even. So what are Noah Hyde laws? I couldn't believe the emails I got yesterday. Coach, you never heard of them. What are you talking about? Noah Hyde laws. So go to the video of Noah Hyde laws. And here, before we play the video of Noah Hyde laws, I want you to know this. There's this idea right behind the move for the injection or the establishment of the Noah Hyde laws is this idea of one world government. That this is going to be the set of rules and regulations that everyone is going to follow. Now, when you hear the Noahide laws, and we'll play them here in a second for you. When you hear the Noahide laws, you have to listen because they sound very close to the Ten Commandments. Very close. But we're going to point out some things that are wrong with them. And understand this. These were laws given according to what they'll tell us, giving to Noah. Noah, after Moses, Noah, given the Ten Commandments, right? I got that backwards. Forgive me on that slip. These were laws given to Noah. So let's go ahead and play this real quick video on what the Noahide laws are. Universal morality. Given Noahide laws or rules that all of us, where we're from. Not these seven things that would be impossible for humanity to live together in harmony. New world order, all right? Do not profane God's oneness in any way. Acknowledge that there is a single God who cares about what we are doing and desires that we take care of his world. Pause it a second. Hey, folks, I hate to tell you this. The Jewish world does not believe Jesus Christ is God. You have to be careful, as I've warned you before, with the generic name of God, okay? Two, do not curse our Creator. No matter how angry you may be, do not take it out verbally against your Creator. Second Noahide law. Number three, do not murder. The value of human life cannot be measured. To destroy a single human life is to destroy the entire world. Because for that person, the world has ceased to exist. It follows that by sustaining a single human life, you are sustaining an entire universe. By the way, who can be against murder, right? Sounds like the Ten Commandments to me. Number four, do not eat a limb of a living animal. Respect the life of all God's creatures. As intelligent beings, we have a duty not to cause undue pain to other creatures. Stop a minute. Can we kill cows and eat them? Do not steal. Whatever benefits you receive in this world, make sure that none of them are at the unfair expense of someone else. Sounds good. Harness and channel the human libido. Incest, adultery, rape, and homosexual relations are forbidden. The family unit is the foundation of human society. Sexuality is the foundation of life, and nothing is more holy than the sexual act. So, too, when abused, nothing can be more debasing and destructive to the human being. Sounds good. Sounds good. Number seven. I have another video soon. Establish courts of law and ensure justice. Uh-oh, hang on. Who's justice? What justice? And who makes the laws? With every small act of justice, we are restoring harmony to our world, synchronizing it with a supernatural order. That is why we must keep the laws established by our government for the country's stability and harmony. Time out a minute. Is there religious freedom in Israel? Do the Jews allow Christians to freely worship in Israel? So in other words, they could make a law establishing that Judaism's the law. These Noahide laws are it. They say, oh, you're worshiping God. Yeah, you're allowed to worship God. But, oh, you can't worship that Jesus guy. He isn't God. See where it goes? Number eight. These laws were communicated by God to Adam and Noah, ancestors of all human beings. That is what makes these rules universal for all times, places, and all people. You can stop it there. Those are the Noahide laws. And there is a movement in the world to make the Noahide laws legal in America. Now, time out a minute. Can somebody help me here? Whose job is it to prevent that from happening? Can Donald Trump by himself make Noahide laws the law of the land in America? I'm waiting for a response. Can he do that?
Coach.
Yeah.
He does have veto power.
He does have veto power. What does that mean, Jeff?
Well, he makes the final say. But when the Congress can override it with 2/3 of the vote to make a law itself.
How would it ever get to him? How would this law ever get to him?
Well, it's in the progress right now.
Where is it in the progress?
It's Senate Bill 852.
So why are we appealing to the president then?
Good point.
We the people, right? We the people. We the people. If Noahide laws get put into place in America, it's going to be the pastor's fault. It isn't Trump's. Come on in. Somebody else come on in. I know I'm like a know-it-all.
Coach, to put it all on the president is a way to escape responsibility.
Andy, I amen. I'm going to drop my mic. Where is it? Amen. We're government of the people. He just went to the UN and said, religious liberty. Are we going to raise up and accept that responsibility and do something with it? Or are we going to sit back and say, oh, there he goes. He's bringing those Noahide laws in. Well, I hope he vetoes. I don't care if he vetoes it.
Well, not only that, Coach, he told him, he said, we have our own form of government and we have our own laws. We are not going to obey these other laws. It's the sovereignty of the nation. So that's what I saw. He was challenging every nation to take pride in their own nation and to do that and to follow their laws. Now, see, then it comes back to, it's not Trump. You're right. It's not Trump. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. It's the people that have laid down, because our Constitution, where did it get birthed from? It got birthed in the heart of men who sat underneath the preaching of the pastors in that day. That's where the inspiration came from for them to pen down not the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution. That's where this stuff came from. And Benjamin Franklin did say it. You have a republic if you, not the government, if you, the people, choose to keep it.
If you can keep it, you can keep it. Now, hang on. Listen, here's where I'm going to make all my enemies on the weekend. I'm going to do it right now. Okay. We'll do it right now. Do God's chosen people, the Jews, follow Jesus Christ? Can you be a Christian? Can you be one of God's chosen people and deny his son's lordship?
Nope.
Nope.
No.
No.
No. No. No.
I'm answering the first question.
What's that, Joe?
You said, can a Jew worship Jesus? Basically, is what you said.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's all dead at the beginning. So, I mean, it was all Jews at the beginning. So to decide today's is wrong.
Oh, okay. I'm with you on that.
Abraham.
Okay, so listen, I hate to end it like this, but I got to do it. Okay, so, hey, Connor. Boy, I'm going to get the courage up to take this one on someday. Do you know that about 80% of Jews vote Democrat? You know that 80% of the Jews are not conservatives. You do understand that, don't you, folks? You do, right? Now, these are people who supposedly are God's chosen people following the same book that we follow, and they're all voting for homosexuality and sodomy, and you're with me, aren't you? You with me? And you know what it is? It's total, complete ignorance by us. Sit down here. It's about 3 minutes. Where did Jewish laws come from? Coach, they follow the Old Testament. Really? Go ahead and play that video.
Very excellent question on what the Talmud and the oral tradition is and what it means
not the right
to
one.
Jewish
that's
life.
The right one. No. Down below it says, where do Jewish laws come from? Where do Jewish laws come from? I'm sorry, I didn't give you
Judaism's
more than
pretty focused on what you do from day to day. Not just when and how to pray, but how to eat, raise kids, farm, cut your fingernails. If you want to learn how to live in a Jewish way, you can watch all our videos, but eventually you're going to want to dive into Jewish law or halacha. Some people say halacha, some people say halacha, which means the path or the way. Here's an overview. It starts with the...
Go back. Jewish laws based on the Bible, the Old Testament, the Talmud. You say, well, Coach, what's that? Well, we'll get to that. Go ahead. I got to shut up. I got to get this video done.
Some people say halacha, which means the path or the way. Here's an overview. It starts with the Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible includes the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. For short, you can call the Hebrew Bible Tanakh, which stands for Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. If you're Jewish, saying Tanakh beats the pants off saying Old Testament, which is a Christian term used in contrast to the New Testament. When the Hebrew Bible was being codified, there was debate over which books to include in the canon. And there's a whole list of books called the Apocrypha that didn't quite make the cut. Some of these books are actually in the Christian Bible, the Book of Maccabees, for instance. And there's other books called the Pseudepigrapha that didn't make it into anyone's Bible. Inside the Hebrew Bible, there are lots of laws and stories that later generations weren't sure how to interpret. For example, the Torah says not to work on the Sabbath, but what does that mean? What's work? Does it apply to office jobs or just manual labor? Does it include working out? So along come six relatively short books called the Mishnah, which try to explain it in a style that's pretty straightforward and sparse. The Mishnah gives a list of 39 things not to do on Shabbat, like baking, sewing, building, etc. It doesn't really explain why those 39 activities are forbidden, it just gives the list. And then, just as the Mishnah tries to explain the Torah, there's another set of books that attempt to explain the Mishnah. This is called the Gemara, and it's massive. 63 tractates, or sections. The Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah by going into a long conversation. So the Mishnah says simply, you can't thresh on Shabbat. Great, no problem, you say. But the rabbis in the Gemara took on, what does that mean for us today? And they extrapolated, well, you can't just avoid threshing grain. The act of removing a seed kernel from its tough outer layer is a lot like shucking corn, so let's not do that either. You also can't wring out a washcloth or squeeze lemon into your tea. Extrapolation. Together, the Mishnah and Gemara are called the Talmud. There are two Talmuds, the Babylonian, or the Bavli, and the Jerusalem edition, or the Yerushalmi. Same basic idea, but they were put together in two different locations, so they have some really interesting variations. The Talmud is so large that yet another set of texts came along to simplify and codify it, the Mishnah Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. And yet, if you spent years making your way through all those texts, you still wouldn't know everything Jewish, like, say, whether escalators are allowed on Shabbat. So along comes modern Jewish case law. People send questions about specific situations to an expert and receive written answers called responsa. You can look up responsa online, and they cover everything from immunization to gambling to escalators. The written Torah is considered sacred, obviously, and Jews view all the texts that came after as sacred also. They are known as oral Torah. Jewish law is not frozen in time. It's continuing to unfold today. Local communities are empowered to study and interpret halakha. This varies a lot in different branches of Judaism today. In some communities, all the texts that we've discussed are considered binding. And if there's a question about them, you go to your local rabbi, whose decisions are binding. In other communities, people are individually free to study and make their own decisions about halakha. These really different approaches to understanding and observing Jewish law are one of the main differences behind different Jewish movements.
Okay, pull that down. Here we go. So listen, I'm about done. So Jesus stormed into the temple. And what did he accuse the Jewish leaders of? Can anybody help me that? No, I'm not going to take the weight on
thieves and robbers. They strain at gnats. They swallow camels. They lead the people astray.
You teach us commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. And I'm going to tell you something. We have been deceived, my friends. The Jewish people are not studying the Old Testament.
Hey, Coach.
The Talmud.
Yeah.
The traditions of men.
Right. That situation with the Jewish, what you call it, is just like telling a little lie. When you tell one little lie, then you have to tell another one to back that one up. And then you have to come up with two more to back that one up. And then you got to come up with another one to back those two up. And you just have to keep lying to back up what you already goofed up with.
Yeah, and see, we're being taught, deceptively so, that the Jews are following the same religion as we are.
They are not following. They're not even following the Torah, Coach.
They're not even following the Torah.
Right. They're following the same thing that when Jesus came, that Jesus had a problem with, and that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees because of what they were teaching and what they were leading the people. They have continued that. That's why their eyes are still blinded to Jesus.
So, folks, listen, better understand this, okay? You better understand this. American Judaism, in particular, is not for the advancement of Christian values. When are we going to wake up and understand that? They are not for the advancement of Christian values. They want the Noahide laws. They want the Noahide laws. And then, once they get the Noahide laws in, then they're going to decide what God you can worship and when you can worship him and what you're allowed to do and who you can kill. And that's the danger that's going on. So I'm not worried about Donald Trump bringing in Noahide laws. I'm worrying about whether or not the church lets it happen. God bless
Amen.
You. We'll see you on Monday.
That's good.